नन्दीश्वरोर् सकसदूषित दक्षय शपम् विससर्ज दारुणम् दक्षय शपम् विससर्ज दारुणम् यच्छन्व मोदांस्तत् अवच्यतां द्विजाम् यच्छन्व मोदांस्तत् अवच्यतां द्विजाम् विज्ञाय शपमिषानुगागणैर्नन्दीश्वरो रुष यच्छन्व मोदांस्तत् अण्डर्स्टाण्डिङ्ग् शापम् दि कर्स् गिरीशा आफ् शिव Anuga Agrani, one of the principal associates. Nandishwara, Nandishwara, Rosha, anger. Kashaya, red. Dushitaha, blended. Dakshaya, to Daksha. Shapam, a curse. And anvamodan tolerated. Tatavachatam, the cursing of Shiva. Vijaha, Brahmanas. Translation purported by Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon understanding that Lord Shiva had been cursed, Daksha and all the Brahmanas present there who had tolerated Daksha's cursing Shiva in harsh words. Purport. There is a long-standing dissension among some of the neophyte Vaishnavas and Shaivites. They are always at loggerheads. When Daksha cursed Lord Shiva in harsh words, some of the Brahmanas present might have enjoyed it because some Brahmanas do not very much admire Lord Shiva. This is due to their ignorance of Lord Shiva's position. Nandishwara was affected by the cursing, but he didn't follow the example of Lord Shiva, who was also present there. Although Lord Shiva could also have cursed Daksha in a similar way, he was silent and tolerant, but Nandishwara, his follower, was not tolerant. Of course, as a follower, it was right for him not to tolerate an insult to his master, but he should not have cursed the Brahmanas who were present in that great assembly. In other words, the material field is so unsteady that even personalities like Nandishwara, Daksha, and many of the Brahmanas present were infected by the atmosphere of anger. Vijaya Shapam Girishanu Gagranir Nandishwaro Rosa Kshaya Dushitam Dakshaya Shapam Visasar Jadarunam Ye Chanva Modam Stat Avachatam Dija. Upon understanding that Lord Shiva had been cursed, Nandishwara, one of Lord Shiva's principal associates, became greatly angry. His eyes became red and he prepared to curse Daksha and all the Brahmanas present there who had tolerated Daksha's cursing Shiva in harsh words. So, continue studying the history of Vaishnava Parad. Actually, the best of all the Puranas. History is given for us to learn from history. But it also says that the greatest lesson from history is that nobody learns from history, right? People want to make their mistakes and then correct their mistakes by doing other mistakes, as Prabhupada says. And nevertheless, it's explained. since Bhagavatam is meant for liberated persons, and we have quite a few liberated people present here for Bhagavatam class. And so, actually, the most intelligent people are meant to learn by hearing. And so, hopefully, this discussion will be enough for us to learn this very important lesson. Of course, first of all, not to commit any Vaishnava aparads. And second, learn how to respond properly. And learn how to utilize scriptural injunctions according to time, place, and circumstance. It is called intelligence because in one of the functions of intelligence is ability to discriminate. Upon hearing the blasphemy of Lord Shiva, one of his principal associates, Nandishwar, became angry. And so Prabhupada explains in the purport that it is quite right, it is quite appropriate, because it is explained in the scripture that upon hearing the blasphemy of either Krishna or pure devotee, it should not be tolerated, because if we tolerate, then we share the reaction for the offense. And so one cannot tolerate. And scriptures describe four possible responses to the blasphemy. It says that if someone hears the blasphemy of the great soul, according to one's position, one should respond in one of the four ways, because the blasphemy is so poisonous. If Shudra hears a blasphemy, he should commit suicide. Vaishya should, you know, excuse himself and leave the place. Kshatriya should cut the tongue of the offender. And Brahmana should convince the offender. With preaching, he should help him to change his mentality with the association. And of course, we should understand that what's the most appropriate approach for us as devotees. That devotee means Brahmana, right? Vaishnava means Brahmana. Actually, Vaishnavas are the best of the Brahmanas, and this is what Srila Prabhupada, this was the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's creating ISKCON. He said very clearly that human society has everything but missing the head, right? So that's why it doesn't know the direction, doesn't understand the purpose. And so that's why we need to train the head for the society, spiritual head, brahmanas. And so natural response for a brahmana is to help person to become convinced. But we can see here that Nandishwar responded in an angry way. Of course, it is there also in the scripture that anger can also be utilized in Krishna's service. And the prime example in the scripture for us is Arjuna, because Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna had to fight and kill for Krishna. He was saying that you will never find picture of Arjuna with his beat bag sitting somewhere in the temple room and chanting his rounds, right? No, Arjuna's service to Krishna was to shoot arrows, right? And killing people. And of course, you cannot do that without any anger. So Arjuna was utilizing anger in the Lord's service. And Srila Prabhupada also gave an example of Hanuman, who burned the entire city of Lanka. So he employed anger in the Lord's service. And many times these examples are used as excuse. Okay, I have anger, so I'll use that in the Lord's service. If someone disagrees with, and unfortunately we had these episodes when devotees were trying to use their anger in Krishna's service, and I think these episodes greatly damaged reputation of the movement. And actually reputation, if we want impress the society at large with the importance of this movement, we should understand that the most powerful way to impress the society is what? By good reputation, right? And so if the movement is suffering due to bad reputation, then how people will take it seriously, right? And so that's why it is very important to understand one very simple thing. Yes, anger can be used in Krishna's service. But in order to use anger in Krishna's service, first, one has to become free from anger. I hope that makes sense. And what's the scriptural confirmation of that? It is very simple. Again, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is our foundation. Right? Of course, some people don't take it seriously. They say, oh, Bhagavad Gita is ABC. Prabhupada was calling it ABC of spiritual knowledge. So ABC is not something which people take seriously. But if you think about the analogy, without ABC, what can you do? Can you read? Can you write? Nothing, right? So without knowing ABC, you are stuck. You are illiterate. And so if you are illiterate, you don't have many opportunities in life, right? And so that's why, and you know, it's like ABC. We know all the 28 letters by heart, right? Hopefully. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. Do we know Bhagavad Gita 700 verses by heart? So this is what analogy means. If you take it as A, B, C, you have to literally know Bhagavad Gita by heart. And if not memorize it, at least know the whole thing so well that you understand, you know, how every part, every verse of Bhagavad Gita is related to practical life, and not just separated verse, but understand Bhagavad Gita as a whole. That's really important. See the connections, because yoga means link or connection. And if someone has fragmental understanding of Krishna consciousness, it's useless. One has to have, as people like to say in modern day and time, holistic understanding. That's really important. Because yoga means connection, and so we have to see how everything in Bhagavad Gita is connected. Only then we can become Krishna conscious. And so, you know, same like, in order to compose proper sentence, you have to understand how the words are connected to each other, right? If you just take few words from the senses and randomly put them together, who will understand you? And so, the important thing in Bhagavad Gita is that Arjuna had zero desire to fight, right? He had zero desire to use the anger for his own sake, right? So he was free from that. And only because Krishna insisted and explained to him properly that he should use his anger and his skills in his service. Only then Arjuna agreed, right? And we can see, I think it is very important. You can see how these Kshatriyas, they were fighting and they were actually appreciating the skills of the opponents, right? And it's described how they were fighting during the daytime and how at night they were sitting together and having heart-to-heart conversations with the enemies. And so we can understand that the anger used in Krishna's service is controlled anger, which is very different from the mundane anger, right? So before we learn to use something in Krishna's service, we have to become free from that thing. You know, if your hands and legs tied by the rope, can you use that rope? No, because rope is using you, right? So if you want to use that rope, first you become free from that rope, then you can put some laundry on it or something, whatever you want to use the rope for. So that's really important, that in order to utilize these qualities in Krishna's service, we have to become free from the influence of those qualities first. Otherwise, it will create a havoc. And this is exactly what this chapter is going to show. We haven't come to this yet, but I'm sure many devotees have the preview already. Those who read the Bhagavatam, they know what kind of havoc it created, right? It led to Sati losing her life, and it led to, you know, disastrous events on universal scale. Just one, it took just, you know, one proud man, Daksha, in this circumstance, and another angry man, Nandishwar, you know, to cause such a havoc. That's why Chanakya Pandit says, in order to burn the entire forest, it just takes one tree to catch fire, right? And in order to devastate the entire family, it takes one foolish son. So that's why Krishna consciousness is, and apply Shastra in the right way. Otherwise, you know, Shastra, another meaning of Shastra is weapon. And so weapon in the hand of someone who is not qualified, that could create terrible disaster, right? I'm coming from Russia, and in Russia we say it's like a monkey with a bomb in hand. You know, you can just imagine what kind of disaster monkey with a bomb can create. And so, you know, monkey should not be given a bomb. But you know, the suitcase with nuclear codes in it. Don't give it to the monkey. That's why, you know, they supposed to be so careful by choosing whom do they, you know, like in nuclear powers, they supposed to be really careful whom do they choose to be their president, because president is carrying that suitcase with nuclear codes. And so you can just imagine if someone, I mean, with all due respect, America appears to be in pretty dangerous situation now. Because the man who has access to nuclear codes doesn't seem to be able to control himself very well. Right. And it could create disaster, just one man. It could create disaster for the whole planet, right? Can wipe off the life on the whole planet. right?
Just with one push of the button,
right?
Because it's such a responsible position. And to be the ruler of one country is Kshatriya's position. Now you can imagine how much greater the responsibility of a Brahmana is. And now you can imagine how much greater the responsibility of a Vaishnava is, right? Because Brahmanas are above Kshatriyas and Vaishnavas are above Brahmanas. So it places huge responsibility on our shoulders for what we do, for what we say, and what we think, right? And that's why Srila Prabhupada established Bhagavatam classes, because it's supposed to be thinking exercise. It's supposed to be taking these wonderful examples from the scripture and seeing how they are applicable in a modern context, right? In order to be relevant and in order not to make disastrous mistakes. All right, we can discuss that topic further on, depending on the questions or comments from devotees. Yes, Prabhu. Very nice musician. Krishna Das, right? Yes, Krishna Das.
If the Bhagavad Gita is the secret of all secrets, if the Bhagavad Gita is the secret of all secrets, then how come it's coming to all of us?
Yes, if Bhagavad Gita is the secret of all secrets, how come that it was revealed? Huh? Yeah, I'm repeating. He's saying that if Bhagavad Gita is the secret of all secrets, how come that it was revealed to all of us? Yes, actually it is true that for the reason we explained, Vedic knowledge, Shastra, was not given to anyone and everyone, right? Because it's really dangerous in the hand, you know, like knowledge in the hand of someone who is not qualified can produce dangerous results. And so for this reason, Shastra was not revealed to anyone and everyone, but Bhagavad Gita is studied by pretty much everybody in Kali Yuga. And Krishna says this is the most confidential of all the spiritual knowledge. Well, there are two things. One is mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, because in Kali Yuga no one is qualified, right? It's like Lord Nityananda, he wanted to kill Jagai and Madai, right? Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill Jagai and Madai after they offended Lord Nityananda. But then Lord Nityananda stopped him. He said, if you want to kill Jagai and Madai, because, you know, those who live in Kali Yuga, they're all Jagais and Madais, you would have to kill everybody. But this is not your mission. You have to kill their demonic desires, but spare their lives. And so then Lord Chaitanya, instead of killing Jagai and Madai, gave them Krishna Prema. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that people in Kali Yuga, they're deserving to be killed, but instead they're getting Krishna Prema. And in order to get Krishna Prema, one has to have spiritual understanding. What does it mean to develop my relationship with Krishna? And this understanding is given in Bhagavad Gita. But the other thing is that this knowledge will still remain confidential for those who do not follow the process of devotional service, that Krishna explains that in the end of Bhagavad Gita. He says that this knowledge cannot be revealed to those who are not astya and to those who are not devoted to me. And so if someone is not devoted to Krishna, or someone is not astya, means one is not following Krishna's teachings, then one will not be able to understand it. Right? So it is an open secret, but if someone does not follow, that it will remain the secret for such a person. Yes? Thank you. Good question.
Thank you very much for nice class. I like the way you connected Bhagavatam to the global understanding, how the person has to be spiritually rooted in order to make decisions for everyone. Can you elaborate how we can use this in a household life, in a small unit of a house? Like, how can this example of having anger can destroy a family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can we protect ourselves from this happening in the house?
Very good. How anger can be controlled in the family? Coming back to the roots again, Bhagavad Gita, we understand where the anger comes from. Kama krodha bijayate. This is what Bhagavad Gita says, right? That lust produces anger. Of course, unsatisfied lust produces anger, right? And actually, lust can never be satisfied. That's why sooner or later it will produce anger. Anger can manifest itself in many different ways. Sometimes it says that depression is an anger but without enthusiasm. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said, devotee is always happy in Krishna consciousness, and you can never see devotee being morose. And if devotee is morose, he is in Maya. Very simple, clear-cut definition. And so, anger manifests itself in so many ways. Grudge, depression, etc., etc. These are all shades and grades of anger, right? Anger basically means I'm dissatisfied with the circumstances, right? And one of the qualities of devotee is santushta, satatam yogi. Devotee is always satisfied, right? So that's why devotee is never angry. And actually, even when the qualities of the devotees are described, those devotees who are dear to Krishna, it's very scientific list given in chapter 12 texts.
13,
yeah, starting from 13 to 19. And so, Advaita Sarabhutanam, Maitra Karuneva Chanyar Mamonirankara, Samadhika Sukakshami, etc. Santushta Satatam Yogi Yatatma Dritta Nishaya. The list is giving about 30 or 31. It's a little bit hard to count because some of them are repeated. So, but it's about 30 or 31 qualities of those devotees who are dear to Krishna. And the first three are very interesting. Advaita Sarabhutanam, having no envy or in enmity towards anyone. Maitra, being friend to everybody. And Karuna, showing compassion towards everybody, right? And so, it's very interesting. Towards whom we tend to have envy? Towards those who are better than us, right? If someone is lower than you in all respects, can you envy that person? You can only envy those who are higher than you, right? But then, towards whom we should have friendship? Towards those who are on equal level, right? And towards whom we should show compassion? Those who are lesser than us, right? So the first three qualities are establishing the fact that if devotee wants to be dear to Krishna, he should have perfect relationships with those above, with those on the same level, and those below, right? Respect for those who above, friendship for those on equal level, and care and compassion for those who are below. So, and then Nirvama, Nirahankara, right? These things, they naturally follow. Nirmama means not claiming any proprietorship, and Nirahankara, not thinking oneself to be something special in this material world, right? And so this is very important, and then of course satisfaction comes from that, right? If someone has perfect relationships with everybody. And so anger comes from lust. So I think we mentioned that last class, right? That one finger pointing out at the external cause of my dissatisfaction, you know, blaming someone. This is blaming mudra, very popular all over the world. Right? That's why we're not using this finger for chanting japa, because this is the finger of the false ego. You and you, okay, do this and that, right? This is, for some people, this is like the working instrument, right? Like some boss, okay. And you can see, you know, someone has very, you know, high level of false ego. Yes. Okay, here, there, everywhere. So that's why we don't use this finger. And in Vedic culture, if you point at someone, you don't even point your finger, you point the whole hand, right? That's culture. And so one finger is pointing at outward cause of our problem, but three fingers pointing at us. And we were mentioning how these three fingers, they can help us to understand that we are the problem of ourselves, the pain we experience in this material world. And so this is the most important thing. But of course, these solutions are very important. And there is one perfect solution for household relationships control. And it is actually perfectly in line with the first and foremost, as Prabhupada describes, process of devotional service. What's the first and foremost process in devotional service? Shravanam, yes, hearing. And Nectar of Devotion says that any of the processes applicable to the Supreme Lord are equally applicable to the Lord's devotees, right? So you hear about Krishna, you hear from Krishna, in the same way you can hear about the devotees, and you can hear from the devotees, and it's equally beneficial, right? So if your wife is a devotee, which I presume is the case, so the first and foremost process in household life is listen to your wife. If you're not prepared to listen to your wife, don't get into household life. But if you got in household life, then listen to your wife. You don't have to agree with her necessarily, but you have to listen to her. And you should not argue with your wife, right? Actually, it doesn't matter, and your wife can say strange things sometimes, but you just have to continue to listen to her. And then actually, because this is the nature of female mind, right? That men can resolve things in their head by thinking. That's the, you know, male power. But females cannot do that,
they have to speak. They have to resolve, you know, whatever they have in their heads by speaking about it. And it sounds crazy, because men don't do that. Men don't speak about crazy things in their heads, right? They first they think, then they speak. But women have to speak and think at the same time, right? Is it true? Yeah. It's just the difference in psychology. And actually, because men and women are different species of life. But, you know, it's really important for a family man to understand that, okay, I'm dealing with different species of life here. Aliens in the house, right? And so you have to understand that this is how female nature is, and you just have to listen to your wife. And by speaking, that most of the time, ladies can resolve it for themselves, right? So you just have to be patient enough to listen to your wife, whatever she has to say. And actually, sometimes she can tell you things you do not notice, which you should, you know, sort out. So it's beneficial in both ways. It's beneficial for you, and it's beneficial for her. And so you just have to, you know, like, household life will force you to understand the value of hearing, of shravanam. Yes. If you fail, then it will become a disaster. Right. Yes?
You spoke from the woman, listen to the woman, wife in the household. What if the husband is angry all the time? He's kind of, you know, in this case, Daksha is the one who's representing anger here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have seen back in the days when the joint family system, the senior men of the family were the most angry because they always had the control of the family and they're always telling people what to do in the whole household. You know, and
yeah.
You come from outside, and if you're a boss, you try to become boss in the house. And
yeah. If you're a powerful king with, you know, like, treasury of billions of dollars worth, and, you know, you have unlimited land under your control, etc., etc., yeah, sure. Your wife will do whatever you say. But if you're just an ordinary man, you know, not much different from your wife, why should she give you so much respect? But sometimes, you know, like, one can have pretty insignificant position in the society, but expect the level of respect, this kind of respect from my wife, but this is, like, incongruent. This is illusory. So, but in any case, it always depends, okay, anger in household life. Is it my anger or I want to help somebody else? Because approach might be different for myself and for others. For others, it would be counseling. Is it helping to understand? Yes?
How can you give up the envy?
Give up the envy. Well, it's... Envy means I want this, but I don't get it. So... Yes. Yeah. It is, there are two ways. Either succeed or leave, right? Because envy means halfway. You haven't succeeded and you are in the situation which causes you trouble. It's like, at your workplace, how do you
deal with a bad boss. If you have bad boss at the workplace, very practical. And I'm looking at some Harvard professional materials, all the know-hows. I have some connections. Harvard Business School. And so, two things. You either succeed in gaining control over your boss, or of someone. You have to decide. You either go all the way forward and gain, you know, achieve the situation which would give you same position, or leave it, right? One or the other. So you have to decide where you want to go. You cannot be in between. You cannot cross the river on both boats, right? Especially going in different directions. So you have this to decide, either or, one or the other boat, which one you want to take. Prabhu? What's that? I couldn't understand. I couldn't follow.
D is devotional service or duty worship. D. And EF is Ekadashi fast. Is that right?
EF is what?
Ekadashi fast.
Ekadashi fast. I never heard this explanation. Can you do it with the entire with all the 828 letters? That would be interesting. Prabhu? How do you, what do you do with the anger which is not purified, and how do we use it for our advantage? Become angry at yourself. What a fool I am. How long will I be, will I continue with my conditional, you know, existence? Enough. You know, I have to sort it out. Right. Putting yourself in miserable situations, right? Resolve it once and for all. All right. So, I think we should stop here. Otherwise, next most important activity is waiting for all the devotees. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Premanande.